Hi, I'm Taylor Carman.
And I'm Eric Kaplan.
I'm a professor of philosophy at Barnard College, Columbia University.
I'm a Hollywood TV writer with a PhD in philosophy. And we are the hosts of Terrifying Questions and How Not to Be Terrified by Them, the philosophy podcast that asks a different terrifying question each week and shows us how to be courageous using philosophy.
So what kinds of questions are they?
Well, is the world a simulation?
Are we evil?
What is evil?
Is life meaningless?
Is everybody having a better love life than us, and we're doomed to be lonely by some accident of early childhood or genetics?
Are we cursed by God?
Or Zeus?
And if we were, how would we know?
Right.
Is all virtue and excellence an illusion?
We will deal with these with courage and reach a point where we and you are courageous.
So join us.
Terrifying Questions and How Not to Be Terrified by Them.
A philosophy podcast presented by Starburns Audio.
You can hear it wherever you get your podcasts, including Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple, or Radio Free Aldebaran.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
That's what my life's been for a while. Having a good old time with Goofing and Screwing.
What are you doing? You warm up there?
What do we got right now? I'll go. Listen, I got the weather on the computer here. Let's see what it's telling me. It's telling me no information available. All right, so much for this fucking computer. It's just gray. It's light gray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 44 degrees.
Okay.
And it has been that way, and it will be that way. And like I said, I go to the gym. I get in a hot tub. I do a hot tub and a sauna. I double up.
Okay.
I had to sweat out. Had a lot of poison in me from this week. Went to Monster Jam Saturday night. Went to see Monster Trucks.
What?
Dude. Monster Trucks? I felt the only reason I felt a little ripped off is I believe we saw him at the Moda Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the size, because I've been watching on TV where they got big arenas and they can get a lead up and they got jumps. This just had like one mound of dirt in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And that's all they were working with. And so it got a little repetitive, except El Toro Loco, who won the whole thing, by the way.
Of course.
We walked in, you know, we're sitting there pre-gaming down the street. We were there 15 minutes late. We missed a lot of action the first 15 minutes. He was doing a nose wheelie over the mound of dirt. We walked in right as that, see a monster truck vertical in the air.
Wow.
Right away, we were excited. And then, man, Gravedigger, backflip.
Really?
Gravedigger did a backflip right in front of us.
Is this the same?
Great
this
time.
The OG Gravedigger? You think it's...
Well, I mean, no, it's the lineage.
It'd be funny if it was still like an 83 Ford 350.
Yeah, just barely. Just a weld. It's a weld with a V8 in it.
That's cool,
these are,
man.
These what are high-flying machines, yeah.
What a fun thing to experience live. I've never been to a Monster Jam. I've wanted to. When I was a child, I thought that would be my career. First time I discovered that, I was like, that seems like a good gig. Let me look into that.
I think it was split down the middle, female drivers and male drivers, too.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw I don't know her name, but the driver of Megalodon, the shark-shaped one.
Ooh.
She was in the bar we were at afterwards because everybody was making the Megalodon shark-biting motion at her in the bar. And it's funny to be, like, what celebrity, like, you know, we do comedy and we've been around, like, comedians and showbiz people. But then the driver of Megalodon was in the bar. I was like, oh, no shit! Like, I got so excited.
Now, was she still in her jumpsuit, or was
no?
She in
I think
clothes?
That probably grabbed a quick shower in the locker rooms, or maybe not. We just had walked down.
That'd be cool if she still had her helmet. It's all muddy.
It's just ready to go, covered in grease.
I love watching.
There was
that
one.
Stuff.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, Gravedigger. I don't know if it's the differentials or what to do. Like all the the backflip and do all the stuff, you saw inside where the differential is.
Uh-huh.
Was just glowing. And I thought it was just like, oh, here's some effects, like light effects on the truck. No, it was just melting the differentials.
Really?
Yeah, she got her truck got stuck out there, had to be towed back in.
Oh, man. That's a good time.
What's stopping you from just buying a couple tickets to something silly?
Absolutely nothing. You've whet my appetite now. I think I got to go check this out whenever it comes to town.
Yeah, especially you go to outdoor where there's probably more room to go mess around. Bring earplugs.
What a cool thing, like to grow up in, like to kind of be groomed for that. That would be, I'm 10 years old. My dad drives monster trucks. I'm probably going to do that too.
What if you just want to be a CPA and you have to, like, your dad's like, no, you are of gravedigger lineage. And this is what you're going to do.
Yeah. Got to carry the torch. Yeah, I like watching that stuff because you think it's just, I don't know, on the surface, it's just real bonehead, stupid, just crash them up stuff. But then they start interviewing these drivers and they start talking all technical. And you're like, oh, I would have never guessed that it was this technical and complex. I thought you just had to get a truck with big old tires and run over shit.
No, and there's a few of them in rotation. There was another event tonight somewhere else that Gravedigger was at.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
Definitely not Santa Claus rules. They're franchised. It's definitely a Gallagher 2 scenario.
Well,
and I'm sorry, wasn't the nose wheelie? Earthshaker did the nose wheelie, not El Toro.
Oh.
At least the ones that we saw was Earthshaker.
Now, is it all just crushing cars, or do they do any racing?
No, there was no cars. There was a mound of dirt, like, with ramps in the middle.
Okay.
And then because it was small, Moda Center was pretty small, so they had a donut contest. They had two sides open enough where they would do donuts. We saw the donuts, and we saw the freestyle, where they're basically just hitting that mound of dirt. And they were kind of trying to get wheelies and nose wheelies. Some unsuccessfully, Gravedigger got the backflip, though. Pulled off the backflip. So Gravedigger won the freestyle, but El Toro Loco with the nose wheelie that we had missed won the whole shebang. Wow. Knocked off his horns. He normally has horns on the front of his truck by the time we got there. The monster truck bodies are destroyed after every race.
Really?
I don't know how they're just making... They're just stamping them out somewhere.
So a backflip. He was driving forward, or she was it?
Yeah.
He or she?
And then Gravedigger was Gail.
Okay, so she's driving forward, and then hits the ramp. And I guess that ramp would have to be at a pretty sharp angle.
It was made out of old tires, so you had a bump. So it was going to bump the front of the truck up.
Okay.
And then so now you're vertical. Now you got to gas it. This is what I'm just from observation. Then you got to gas it so the back wheels hit those the tires that are stuck in the dirt to give you the bump even further around.
Huh.
It was very clean. It was very clean, too.
Wow. What a fun thing to practice, you know?
That's what I wonder. How do you practice? Like, practicing is not cost effective in regards to monster trucks, you know?
Yeah, it's like they talk about that with like kids sports and stuff. Like this sport, you know, your parents got to be rich for you to, you know, ride horses or equestrian or, you know, you name it.
Yeah,
but that seems like a pricey sport to get into. Always busting shit. Got to have a welder.
Yeah, horse living. Mm-hmm. Horse living ain't cheap.
Oh, good times, buddy. Good times. I had a celebrity sighting yesterday.
What'd you say?
Here in L.A., you know, we see celebrities here and there. But it's still neat. I'm standing in line at Amoeba, my beloved record store, and who's in front of me but Seal. Seal is in front of me.
Really?
Just plain old Seal. I don't know his last name. But what was that Seal big hit? Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose.
Uh huh.
He's also very funny in the Lonely Island movie. The pop star movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I never did see that. But yeah, Seal.
It's a funny movie.
Still looks great. You know, as far as, I mean, you know, there's no joke there intended. But as far as like his age, you know, he still looks the same as he did in the early 90s. I don't know. He's got to be 60 now. He looks 40. Looking good.
How old
Tall.
Is Seal?
Had on nice boots.
He is 60 years old.
Wow, I nailed it.
As of February 19th, happy birthday, Seal.
There you go, Seal. I didn't get a peek of what he was purchasing, but he was buying something. Be funny if he's buying a bunch of Seal records.
Got to drive the prices up.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's always a neat. I've seen a lot of celebrities at Amoeba. I saw about a year or two ago, I saw Paul Giamatti shopping for jazz records.
See, that seems about right.
Mm-hmm. I've seen Dee Snider in there.
I like everything Dee Snider's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Dee Snider.
He seems like he's on the right side of the thing, like any kind of political or social issues.
Mm-hmm.
Not the type of dude you would expect to be on the side that you're on, but he is.
Yeah.
And also, Twisted Sister ruled. You know, that music, that was just anthems.
Yeah, it was all anthems.
And they were and they had enough of a sense of humor to be in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
And he makes his own horror movies. I don't know if they're any good, but
yeah, I remember Strangeland wasn't very well reviewed when it came out 25 years ago.
Good for him, you know, yeah. Branching out, trying stuff.
Yeah, good for him. But yeah, pretty exciting week over here. Saw Seal. Had some good potato salad. Things are good.
That's all Dave Stone needs for an A-plus week.
Yeah, had some good potato salad. Man, you talk about an underrated side dish, Kyle.
Not to me. I love a potato salad.
Fucking love potato salad. Best potato salad in Los Angeles. It's a coin toss between my beloved Bloodsoes and Cantor's Deli. Two different versions, both incredibly solid. Bloodsoes does a mustard base. And here's what they do that I love. They put a little crumbled up hard-boiled egg in theirs. Good times. So mustard, some nice crunchy celery and raw onion. Oh, boy, some pickle. And then Cantor's goes with a white one. They do. They peel just russet potatoes. Usually I like to keep the skins on my potato salad, but I appreciate a good peeled potato salad. But, yeah, they go more of a mayo and a little bit of sweetness. I don't know if they put sugar or something, but theirs is light and sweet, and Bloodsoes is it's crunchy and got that mustard bite. Oh boy!
I got some gas station potato salad in North Dakota.
Oh boy!
And I knew that I was, dancing with the devil.
How'd
it go? I felt fine, and it was great, But you're giving me a mayo based condiment already, so there you go with potatoes, but it was potato salad, but it was deviled egged potato salad.
Oh, okay.
So they were taking egg salad, mm-hmm. they were taking potato salad, mm-hmm. making some sort of weird gas station hybrid, and I was there for it.
I like it.
I also, because it's gas station food, that whole trip, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. Not a lot of vegetarian options.
Probably not.
So I got a cup of mashed potatoes and gravy at one gas station. What a nice stick-to-your-ribs treat when you're driving through the tundra. It was like a nice cup of hot mashed potatoes.
I love it. I like your style, man. Take some balls to be getting side items, homemade warm food at the gas station, but I like it.
You could tell it was like, nah, it wasn't. It's always can be joked at as risky, but then you realize, like, no, this is where a lot of people stop for, like,
multi-use. Mm-hmm.
There's not, like, there might not be a proper grocery store mm-hmm. in 10 miles, so they go to this place instead for their short-term items, so.
Yeah, I've talked about my love of a gas station breakfast biscuit. Waleska, Georgia, where I grew up, closest restaurant was probably 15 miles away. But about 2 miles from the house, we had a BP, an old mom-and-pop BP station. And they had a couple grandmas in there every morning making homemade biscuits. And then you could get that with sausage, bacon, scrambled eggs, cheese. Oh, man. It wasn't the best biscuit in the world, but, like, it was pretty solid. And just the fact that it was so homemade. Like, it didn't have
It's context. Yeah. It's context and passion, you know.
Yeah. It was really, really good time. Very well priced. And they nothing fancy. Just wrap it in plain tin foil. Just throw it at you. But, yeah.
I love it.
Gas station biscuits kept me alive as a teenager.
Good time. What was your teen? My teen go-to, honestly, I think Subway, like as a teen.
Mm-hmm.
Subway.
Subway used to be great.
Subway's before you knew, if you didn't grow up around delis or knew about sub sandwiches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Subway was, that was the tits.
Mine was Mrs. Winner's. They served breakfast all day, and all day you could get the steak, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Is there a Mr. Winter's?
Probably not.
I'll, always funny to say whenever there's a formal. Is there a Mrs. Peanut?
But yeah. Oh, speaking of deli, you know what else I had this week that I haven't had in forever? And I've always liked it, but I never, it's never on my radar. But I was feeling it the other day. I got a nice lox platter. A little smoked salmon, cream cheese,
you know what?
Onion.
Where was I at? That,
and
I went with
rye bread instead of a bagel. Oh, good stuff.
I never want it when it's introduced as an idea, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, it's morning. Do you want some fish? No. Absolutely not. Get it out of here. But then I have it, and I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going to get this for myself. But then you're going to put fish on a bagel next to options that are like egg and cheese or jelly and cream cheese or any kind of other savory option. I'm not going to pick fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to stand a chance.
Yeah, I think that's why I never order it. But, man, I got the, like I said, I got the rye bread. I toasted that up a little bit, put a little cream cheese down, a little fish, raw white onion. And then it didn't come with this, but I added some dill pickle. So I got the pickle, the onion, the fish, the cream cheese. It was a damn good time.
Capers. Isn't that why people go to Capers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this didn't come with capers. I thought it always had capers. But, yeah, no capers. But still, a real good time. So it was a good week over here, Kyle. Some potato salad, some lox. Things are going
well. That's
good. Yeah.
Good week over here. Had spots, some monster trucks. You know?
Got to be thankful for what's going on.
I'll tell you this, it's not Boogie Monster related, but things rarely are in the first 45 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
I started watching Lord of the Rings yesterday.
Never
saw it. Could be related in a fantasy realm that people believe that, you know, there's... I finally understand all the references people have been making for the past 22 years.
Like what references?
One ring to rule them all. There's one doesn't merely walk into Mordor. All these nerd things that people would put in stand-up sets and all this. Like, I knew the my precious. I knew it was from that. But now I'm watching the movie, kind of on a lark. It's great, which of course it is. But I really I haven't sat and paid attention to a movie like this in a while. So I'm throwing that. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have. I've seen all three, and I enjoyed them. I don't think I've rewatched them since I watched the original time, but I didn't go into it expecting much because, you know, I've never been a big fantasy sci-fi guy, but when those came out, I mowed through all three of them and enjoyed it. Like, there were parts that are a little slow or whatever, but I think there was enough great action and cool scenery. Just, I love just the way it's shot. I guess what, New Zealand is where they film most of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a 3-hour long. I got to watch the other half of it today, but anyway, I know that's not new probably for anybody listening, but like, you know, you get so far away from something that was part of pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're far enough away from it, you're like, well, I'm probably never going to watch this. And yeah. So last night, I'm like, okay, I'm staying in. I had some fun nights out. I got to take a night in. Let's throw it to old Peter Jackson and the in the Hobbits there.
Yeah.
And, so, all right. So, you know, this opens the door to, like, go try other new stuff.
Dude, that's anyway, it's funny because that's what I've been doing with Star Wars. I told you last week I watched the first two, and I'm about halfway through the third one, which is, what's that one, Return of the Jedi? Yeah.
I don't know. They made up new math for those, so I don't know. I thought I saw the first three. Turns out I saw the middle three. I don't know what's going on with Star Wars.
Yeah, first three in terms of when they actually came out. And I don't know. Like, I'm enjoying watching the originals. I'm not motivated to go check out any of the newer stuff. Like, when they first, that first, I guess the fourth one came out, like, the late 90s, I watched that one and was like, meh. But I wasn't really into any of that stuff back then.
Jar Jar Binks. Did me so dirty that I'd never want to see a Star Wars ever again.
Yeah, he was kind of goofy.
That's how stupid that was to me.
Yeah.
Like, but, that just made it like, oh, these are kids' movies. I don't care to see it. Unless it's a children, like, it just, yeah, it just really burnt me. So, maybe I got to go back to them. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the originals, you know, especially for the time they were made, it's impressive. And, you know, the story's interesting enough. It's kept me interested. But, yeah, it's a good time. I'm finally at the part where the Ewoks show up. It's all been leading up to the Ewoks. I like the Ewoks. I remember
them. Yeah, everybody liked the Ewoks.
Yeah, little mini Bigfoot.
Well, that's why I was like, it's not entirely Boogie Monster related, but it is fantasy worlds. Which some people would claim is where a lot of the creatures exist that we discuss.
Absolutely.
On the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord of the Rings, I'm like, oh, wait, so the elves live forever? But the hobbits get old? I don't know how long everybody lives.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track.
Like, oh, this was a battle 2,000 years ago. Well, it's the same elf. But the elves are bigger than dwarves. But dwarves are still small, but elves are regular size. Elves are just kind of twinks, I think. They're like twinks.
I see you in your office with like a cork board and pictures and yarn, and you're trying to figure out who's an elf, who's a hobbit.
It's like they really all kind of fall into the gay categories. You got twinks, you got pups, you got bears. Orcs, I think, are orcs, even in either. That's like a super ugly gay dude or just whatever Lord of the Rings calls them.
Yeah.
Or they call them orcs. But everybody else, like, these are just men. That's it somewhat corresponds to me as an outsider who's unfamiliar with both things I'm talking about. This totally makes sense. It's a one-for-one ratio, gay type to whoever's in Lord of the Rings. You'll find it. You'll find what you're looking for.
Well, good for you, man. I'm proud that you branched out and watched something outside your comfort zone.
Lord of this ring, baby.
There you go. Today's episode of The Boogie Monster brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. Would you do everything it took to protect your family? Of course you would. I've got bladed weapons, firearms, booby traps. I'm very well prepared. But that's not all. I also look to Simply Safe to help keep my family and my animals and my possessions and my home safe 24/7. They make it easy to protect every inch of your home with advanced security technology powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. Here's why I recommend it. It's so easy to use. All right. Home security, there's a lot of it out there. There's a lot of different companies. I've used some of the others in the past, but sometimes you don't really feel like you're getting your money's worth. Not the case with Simply Safe. So easy to use. You download the app, they walk me through it 30 minutes. I got all the bells and whistles, the sensors, the cameras, everything you need to keep the whole house safe and secure. SimpliSafe is designed with cutting-edge security technology, like I said, powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. That's important. You know, imagine an emergency. You know, something happens. You don't want to be dealing with the voice commands, the voice automated stuff. You want to talk to a real live human being 24/7. You can do that with SimpliSafe. In an emergency, SimpliSafe's professional monitoring agents, they use Fast Protect technology to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real, so you get priority police dispatch. You can lock, unlock your doors, access your cameras, arm and disarm your system from anywhere. It's got it all, man. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplisafe.com/boogie. That's S-I-M-P-L-I. Simplisafe.com/boogie. Go today. Claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. Again, that's simplisafe.com/boogie. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Our next partner is Athletic Greens, a.k.a. AG1. I've been taking Athletic Greens literally almost every day for a couple of years now because I needed something healthy and simple to incorporate into my diet. You've heard my stories. I'm up, I'm down, I'm fat, I'm less fat. But at the very least, I'm getting some good, high-quality nutrition in my diet almost every day thanks to Athletic Greens. It's one scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water, no blender. You don't have to wash and peel or mix any veggies. It's just powder, water, shake it up, suck it down, boom, you're good to go. I wait till around noon until I have my serving of AG1. Trying to do that intermittent fasting, waiting as long as I can in the day before I have any calories. And I tell you what, that keeps me satiated for several more hours. It's hard for me to keep up with the supplement routine. I've tried the multivitamins. I've tried the other powders. AG1 is just simple. It works. Why take a bunch of different stuff when you can just mix one scoop of powder and water once a day? AG1, there you go. AG1 was designed with ease in mind so you can live healthier and better without having to do a lot. I like that part. Simply put, it's the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute. If you're one of those people who's always looking for life hacks, boy, have you got one here. Athletic Greens, once a day, 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfood ingredients of the highest quality. They give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens has given you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/boogie. That's athleticgreens.com/boogie. Check it out.
That was right there.
Speaking of Star Wars and space and fantasy, I got a fun one for you today, Kyle.
What do we got? Let's hit me with it.
I stumbled on to Project Serpo, and I don't think we've ever talked about Project Serpo.
Mm-hmm.
But the short and fat of it is basically Project Serpo was a alien exchange program between America and some aliens from the Zeta Reticuli. We've talked about Zeta Reticuli, but anyway, it's basically in the mid '60s, we sent 12 Americans, all of which I believe were astronauts. We sent them to 40 light years away.
Oh yeah.
To I believe the name of to the Zeta Reticuli system. I don't know if Serpo is the name. I think Serpo is the name of the planet. But I had never heard of this. But all right, long story short. All right, planets.
Wonder why.
The Planet Serpo Exchange Project. It traces its origins back to the Roswell incident, we all know. New Mexico, 1947. We found the remains of a craft and one living extraterrestrial, along with the bodies of 4 dead ones. So that's something we've never gotten into because that's kind of the OG story in this universe. You know, the Roswell, I just figured everybody's heard it, you know, so many times. But I still, doing research, I still kind of hear different accounts. But this is, apparently there's one living alien that we found. Mm-hmm. And so we took this alien back, I don't know where they took it, But it turns out, and we have talked about this, there were two crashes. The remains of a second UFO were found 2 years later, and it appeared those two spacecraft had crashed into each other. By then, the bodies of all the aliens except the one, they had decomposed, so there wasn't much to work with there. But they took whatever was left, they took that over to Wright-Patterson Air Force in Ohio, Air Force Base in Ohio. The living Roswell ET, he was later named EBE-1, which stands for Extraterrestrial Biological Entity. One being the first one. He was friendly and calm. See, I never knew about this. So this living ET that friendly we recovered from Roswell.
Yeah. Okay.
He was friendly and calm. And they call it a he. I don't know if they checked his gender, but we'll just go with he. He attempted to communicate, but he spoke in like tones, like a tonal qualities. So he didn't speak words. He just a series of different tones.
Yeah, some bleeps and bloops, sure.
Some bleeps and bloops, you know. Let's see. They said he seemed very intelligent. He was able to quickly learn English. He then informed his keepers that he was from a planet called Serpo. Here we go. Yeah, planet Serpo, about 40 light years away in the Zeta Reticuli system. So EBE-1, he worked alongside some of the personnel there, and they tried to salvage his communication device from his spaceship, but they couldn't get that thing to work. So for years, you know, he was just down here. He couldn't get in touch. It's kind of like the basis of ET. Couldn't get in touch with his own planet. In 1952, so they kept this fella, this EBE-1, they kept him for about 5 years because in 52, he passed away without ever making contact with his home. But later that year, December of 52, the military, the U.S. military, made contact with an alien race referred to as the Ebens, E-B-E-N-S, Ebens, who lived on planet Serpo. And they were communicating for 9 years. So 9 years we communicated with the Ebens of planet Serpo. During this time, an exchange program between the inhabitants of those two planets, Earth and Serpo, was created. 12 American astronauts, 10 of which were men, 2 were women. They were selected for this experiment. Now, here's where it gets good. They had to give a 10-year commitment. So we were going to send 12 astronauts to planet Serpo for 10 fucking years. So they had there was strict requirements for these astronauts. A lot of training, obviously. But for one thing, they wanted to choose astronauts that weren't married or had children. And though it was not necessarily a requirement, having a family, having family members like parents or siblings was not ideal because now these were all military or astronauts, or you know, astronauts, former military. So what they did was they all these candidates, or the 12 people, they basically just pulled them out of society, got rid of their identity, burned the Social Security card, because they didn't want it was top secret. So you know, they didn't want somebody that had a wife and kids.
Oh,
or whatever.
Yeah, you can't be you know? Can't be throwing some drinks back.
No, no.
Oh, where am I going tomorrow? Planet Serpo.
So the exchange was scheduled to occur at Holloman Air Force Base, April 24th, 1964. Apparently, President Kennedy knew about this, even though he was dead by the time that was supposed to occur. Two Eben spaceships landed as planned, April 24th, 1964. There was a bunch of American government personnel on hand to greet them. The 12 American astronauts prepared to embark on their adventure, but for some reason, the exchange got postponed. So the Ebens, they came down, and what they did, instead of taking the 12 astronauts, they gathered the remains of their dead comrades, and they bolted back to planet Serpo. So put that plan on hiatus for a little bit. But a little over a year later, July 65, they came back to pick up the 12 astronauts. All right, so this is exciting. They got 12 astronauts, all right, and they literally they packed literally tons of supplies, All right, so they a bunch of food.
So they're traveling light years, by the way. They're traveling light years.
40 light years. So, and we'll get to that. It's going to take them 10 months. Take them 10 months to get to planet Serpo.
Who's doing that Serpo math?
I don't know. Somebody
figured
it
out. That's Aben's math. Yeah. That's Aben's math.
So the 12 astronauts, they loaded up a bunch of food, medicine, weapons, even some Jeeps and motorcycles. Because if you're going to go to another planet, you're going to want recreational vehicles.
You don't want to just be bumming rides.
No, no. So they.
What do these Abens look like? What do they look like?
That I don't know. I don't have. Well, if they're from the Zeta Reticuli, probably like Greys. They're probably like Greys. Or, I mean, Zetas are their own thing. So there's probably like Zetas, which kind of look like the Greys. So anyway.
Yeah, their vehicles are going to be tiny.
Yeah, they're going to be tiny. So they might as well bring your own Jeeps and your own motorcycles. They brought 2 years' worth of food, which was not enough. They later ate the Eben food, and none of the astronauts liked that because they said it tasted like paper. So,
well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I think these small mouth, small nose, you know, that kind of, they're not getting pleasure from that stuff.
No, no, it's just fuel.
They don't need, yeah, just get you going, which I'm not angry at.
So,
not angry at that.
They took off July of 65. 10 months later, they landed. They lost one of the astronauts, died during the 10-month commute. I don't know how that person passed away, but they died. When the spacecraft landed, all right, the spacecraft landed, they received quite a positive welcome. There was a large number of Ebens on hand to greet the 12 American astronauts, and even an Eben female spokesperson, she was there, and guess what? She spoke fluent English, because these are advanced beings. They can figure out English pretty
quick. Well, I mean, you're going to have an exchange program. Somebody be able to talk the language.
Yeah. Here's the thing about planet Serpo. Two suns. They have two suns on that planet, and they said it was about 107 degrees, which is obviously very hot, but what are the odds that it's still within our range? You know, some of the, you know, you go to Mars or something, you're gonna burn up.
Yes. What are the odds, Dave, that this story works out?
Exactly.
What are the odds?
107 degrees, two suns. It stayed daylight most of the day. Very little darkness. All right. Let's talk about the time that they spent on Serpo. The Americans were expected to stay for 10 years. But it turns out, due to their confusion with the calendars, they stayed 13 years. So they did get some Serpo math wrong. They thought they were going for 10 years. It was difficult to keep track of days and times since the planet had two suns, never got completely dark, and one day on Serpo lasted 40 hours as opposed to 24. Now, does that mean that the day was actually longer, or just they cut it up into smaller increments?
Well, now you're getting into other galaxies, Dave, and I don't think they're using a regular calendar like
everybody else. Probably not using our calendar.
Think about how every society is dictated around the lunar year.
Yeah.
How would the
lunar calendar?
Now you got Lunar New Year. That's what, no. But. So you got different planets moving at different times. You got a different cycle, different time cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, they got 40 hours in a day. I wonder how that would be. That would mean each hour only had 36 minutes. So instead of 60.
You did that math?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that math in my head.
No shit.
I got no calculator here. Just eyeballing it. Yeah, I'm good with weird math like that. Yeah,
that's not weird math. That's just math. You're good with math.
Yeah. I'm good with some, like I'm great at percentages, stuff like that. Other things I have hard times with. But let's see here. Oh, yeah. They learned about the Ebens' history and their religious beliefs and technologies. They said at the time of their visit, there were 650,000 Ebens on the planet of Serpo, so much less than humans on Earth. No other race or species on the planet, just the Ebens. Let's see. They lived fairly primitively for a culture that also had advanced technology. Specifically, the Ebens had anti-gravity vehicles they used for ground transportation. That's pretty cool.
All right. It's a pretty good time.
So, after a few years, the Americans were just – it was too hot, 107 degrees around the clock. It's a little too hot. They moved to the northern part of the planet where it was cooler. They were able to grow food more to their liking. They had taken with them food to last more than 2 years, but when they ran out, they had to eat that Eben food, which I said they didn't like. It tastes like paper. So they figured out how to grow some of their own human food. I don't really know how they pulled that off. But
what'd they bring? What food? I want to know what food they brought.
Yeah, it doesn't say, but that would be. I'd like to have a list of that. Probably a lot of canned goods. Yeah. You need non-perishables. It's going to take 10 months for it to even get there. So. Let's see here. They returned home in 1978. Two Americans. They liked life on Serpo so much they decided to stay. So how about that?
That's really.
You think maybe they fell in love. Maybe they found a mate.
I mean, you're going to get Eben horny?
I mean, maybe.
You think you get Eben horny?
Well, it's kind of like prison, you know? It's just what's available.
It's not like prison. You volunteered to go there. It's not all like prison. Like, oh, no, I'm an astronaut. I'm going to volunteer.
But I'm saying you're stuck up there for 10, 13 years, you know? Can't do what you got to do. So, yeah, two of them stayed. The remaining astronauts returned home to Earth in 1978.
It's not a probe if I say yes beforehand.
Once they returned to Earth, they had to be quarantined for a year. I don't know why they had to be quarantined for a whole year. During that time, they had a bunch of debriefings, which apparently resulted in a 3,000-page report. And that's where a lot of these details are coming from. They were then allowed to go back to their normal lives. Little is known about their lives since, except they do know that the last survivor, the last astronaut who went up there on that mission, they passed away in 2002. And it's been... America's had no communication with the Ebens on Serpo since 1985, so we don't know what happened to the two astronauts that stayed up there. But how about that shit?
Where are these people? Where are these people that are just back here not talking about how they lived on a foreign planet for 10 years?
Yeah, they probably,
That's where's the story? Where's that part?
Yeah, I don't know. Last one died in 2002, so they've been gone for over 20 years. Apparently,
but they were just hanging out.
Hanging out when they got back?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
just,
they retired.
Just not telling anybody?
Yeah, probably not. Probably going about their lives, you know? Having breakfast with their friends. Maybe getting into some church functions. Oh, yeah, I got this little secret. I lived on another planet for 13 years.
Okay.
Be hard not to be a know-it-all blowhard one-upper.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, do you think that the government could gaslight you effectively? They could either say, like, oh, if you tell anybody, we'll kill you, or go ahead. Tell whoever you want that you lived on another planet for 10 years. And if you start talking to people, you will get no benefits, and you'll just sound crazy.
Yeah.
Which is like that that one UFO documentary where the guy – I can't keep any of these straight because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But the one that had a good – like really had a good follow-up, and the guy was – the one guy they were interviewing was like, it's just nice. Like he like lost everything. He worked in like a diner. He was a cook in a diner.
Mm-hmm.
He was like high up – he was like in the Navy radar room where he saw all the – UFOs, and everybody's like, you didn't see anything, and they took all the evidence. Remember that part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's watching the disclosure on TV in the diner he works at, because he's like, oh, everybody thought I was crazy, and my whole life is in shambles. Now at least people might believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So you just come back, like, oh, I lived on another planet for 10 years. You're not going to get hired.
No.
Well, you might, but
what's this,
like...
What's this gap in your resume here, sir?
As in Zeta Reticulon.
What's that?
Zeta Reticulon.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people think I said Beta Reticulon. Uh-huh. Zeta Reticulon.
Hmm.
They're like, okay, what can you do? Like, well, I can probe and prod gray alien bodies.
All right, we'll let you know.
I could drive a Jeep in 107-degree heat with zero gravity.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd start peeling these potatoes. We'll see where we get you from
this
there.
This is mainly just shipping and receiving, but...
I was shipped off, and then they received me back, so okay. I'm pretty familiar with that.
This might work out.
You know, back and forth. That's kind of what I did. You know, it's kind of the thing I was doing.
Yeah, could you imagine, if this is real? I mean, if this is real, this is one of the craziest things that a human being has ever been a part of. To go live on another planet for 12, 13 years.
But that's if they sent them to go do that,
mm-hmm.
and then they're just back. Like, what are they? Where's the information? What's the?
What do you mean?
What are they doing? Where's the info?
I mean, somebody lived. They were debriefed for a year, so I'm sure that in that time that. They told them everything they knew and experienced, and I don't know what the actual mission was or the objective was other than just gain intelligence about that planet and those beings. I don't know, but yeah. I'm sure that hopefully they came back with some useful info.
That's what I'm saying. Not a knick-knack, nothing.
Well, we don't know that.
We had foreign exchange students. You know, and they all came back with some weird chocolates and a case of herpes or something. Like, they all came back with something.
Fish, what'd you fun. Say? Fish caramels?
Yeah, some fish caramels. Something to prove that they were there where they said they were.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they didn't bring stuff back, but apparently Reagan was debriefed on this whole thing. That's got to be weird. Like, you know, you take office during the middle of this thing. It's like, oh, by the way, we're going to have some American citizens coming back from a different planet during your jurisdiction or during your what's the word I'm looking for? Get the brain.
Your
fart
presidency.
Sometimes. Presidency. Yeah. Maybe that's
your term. I still Brooks Wheelan still had such a great joke about it. He's like in 2016 when Trump got elected, he's like, all right, bright side though, if there are aliens, he's going to tell us. There's no way he's keeping a secret. We will find that out if that's true. And there was a little bit of me that was like, I am kind of disappointed that, you know, Trump didn't start saying real bonkers shit. That's like, ooh, that is the truth. That is coming out into the news. Okay, how about it? Like, there was, you know, we're not going to do political stuff, but there was a point where Trump was enough of a loudmouth that I was kind of wanted to hear some stuff out.
Oh,
like, I
absolutely.
Wanted to hear some crazy shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, and honestly, when he did 4 years and didn't do that, that kind of lessened my belief in all this stuff. Because, you said, I'm sure he would have spilled the beans.
Or there is elements of the military that's like need-to-know basis.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, all right, we're doing what we're doing with our alien friends, with our, you know, Zeta Reticulates over here, with our Ebens and Stevens. We don't have to go blowing it up with a loudmouth. Why would we compromise all the progress we're making?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though you're a president, you still might just be viewed as like a temporary schmuck. Like, you fuckers come and go every 4 years. We've been doing this project for 35.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you don't need to know this part. You handle the terrestrial beings. Extraterrestrials, that's us. You don't need to know about it.
Apparently, there's a transcript of President Reagan getting briefed by then CIA Director William Casey. That's out there somewhere. It was a top secret meeting. Apparently, there's an audio recording of it. It happened March 6th and March 8th of 1981 Director Casey provided Reagan information about the exchange program. Reagan had quite a few questions that he was told would be answered later in additional briefing. Unfortunately, there's no transcript of that session. But apparently there is a transcript of the initial briefing where this guy's telling Reagan what was going down.
All right.
I mean, that's interesting. Like, and we've touched on a little bit of this stuff before. I forgot what story or what topic we were talking about years ago. But it had something to do with, it might have been Valiant Thor and Eisenhower, that alien that apparently lived in the Pentagon. Oh, yeah. But apparently there was some treaty or agreement that allowed a certain race of aliens to abduct a certain amount of American citizens each year and either return them
and
or not return
just
them.
Seems but, a little bit. That's a wild thing to allow.
Yeah, it does seem like a crazy thing, but
I'll let you nab a couple of them. What?
Yeah.
No. What? Protect but, American citizens. Yeah. And, okay, you could have like five.
And I say this with every topic we discuss on this program, but just imagine if this was real, how amazing would that be? I mean, if this is if there's any truth to this. The fact that we could even get to a planet 40 light years away is
that's
seemingly
this is where the details. Yeah, I want okay. Let me hear some details on this. Mm-hmm. How were they transported? How did they survive something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
That's the kind of stuff where I'm like, I need a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. You gotta give me a little bit on this one.
How
guys.
Far is one light year? Let's see. How far? Is
it's line. Real far, man.
Let's see here.
It's like the farthest.
It's like the farthest.
It really is. It's how fast can light travel in a year? Fucking far, dog.
Yeah, I don't even understand.
I'm not. I know I'm not sounding particularly scientific when I say it that way, but fucking far, dog.
One light year is 5.8 trillion miles.
Okay.
Let's say, and they did 40. Let's just round that up to 6.
Go, yeah. 40, let's see that math. Let me
240,
see that math.
240 trillion miles is what they traveled in 10 months.
10 months.
10 months, 240 trillion. So that's,
doesn't 20, Mars take 10 months right now with what our capabilities are?
Yeah, I think I did hear that.
Mars is... 7 months. Oh, shit. Wait a minute. The spacecraft. This is from NASA. So the spacecraft departs Earth at a speed of about 24,600 miles an hour. Listen, I knew they were going fast. I did not know they were going that fast.
That's way too fast. Slow down.
That's... Hey... Drive like your kids live here.
Uh-huh.
Depends on, so yeah. That's, okay. I don't know how, and that's the, this is where the details, I want to know about G-forces. I want to know about, you know, how they consumed nutrition. Mm-hmm. I want to know about the gravity of this planet they went to. There's a lot of questions here, not just like, we met some cool aliens, kicked it over there for a while. You're not just, you know, John Travolta in Pulp Fiction just showing back up like, it was cool, man. They called Big Macs different and shit. Like, it's fucking space, man. It's not that nonchalant.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they would just let them come back here, like, bow, you're back. Try to hang out. And not talk about going to space for 10 years.
Several of them died fairly quickly after they returned to Earth because of radiation exposure.
Here? Or coming back?
They were exposed to radiation in Serpo.
But they were doing all right up there.
I guess.
Better health care.
Yeah, probably.
Better health care on old Serpo.
Probably. I can't believe it was only 107 degrees. I mean...
107. I mean, you figure these astronauts are training in Texas and Florida. They're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all right.
I think one of them described it as the landscape, or at least the part of Serpo that they were on, was very much like the American Southwest, Mojave Desert.
It's a dry heat.
Uh-huh. It's a dry heat.
Not even a problem.
Then.
Now, granted, their second sun was only about 30 Earth miles from the surface of the planet we were on, but it's a dry heat, so yeah. It just gets a little crispy.
Got two suns.
Couple suns. God knows how many moons.
So, yeah.
All right.
I want this to be true.
I want to know the I want to know who ran, like, the stories about, like, ooh, my aunt's friend slow danced with Ted Bundy in a bar once, she thinks. Like, I want to know, like, oh, yeah, I was at a bar one night. Some guy was going on and on about living on another planet for 10 years. But he seemed like a regular dude, so we just listened to him. Like, yeah. I want those runoff stories.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, that's a damn good bar story.
Fuck.
What would you do that if you had given the opportunity? Would you go live on another planet for 10 years?
No, man, I got stuff going on
here.
You
got dates. Good stuff going.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't. You know, I don't.
You're who they were looking for. You know.
I don't know. I'm not. No, I have attachments. I have a. I think I feel like I would be noticed if I went missing.
That's true. That's true. People would notice if you disappeared, and there was no cause.
Yeah, you
got to
get a bunch of emo kids. Bunch of lonely emo kids listening to My Chemical Romance for 400 light years or whatever it takes to get out there.
Even. As a married man, I would miss her, but I would do it. I would do it if I could go for like a year, for a year.
Even
if Katie would let me, I'd go for a year. I wouldn't commit to 10, but if, well, you can't go. Yeah. See, it takes 10 months to get there. So yeah, it'd be gone. Even if I stayed up there for a year, I mean, you're still talking almost.
You want to make the trip worthwhile. Yeah. Yeah,
it's true. You don't drive cross country and stay for one night and turn back. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, if this is true, this is one of the most amazing things humans have ever done.
It's, again, there's no story of people being back having gone away for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I was pointing out. The government could easily negate their reality.
Yeah.
How many, you know, homeless people you walk by that are just yelling a crazy story. Mm-hmm. That's like an old Mark Maron bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what if that's who's like Jesus is talking to them?
Yeah.
And it's every time you see a homeless person like, no, I can't. I can't. And then that's actual God being like, yeah, you have to kill the president or so whatever, you know. Like they're actually speaking with God. They just look like a lunatic because of our standards of what's normal and sane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got a lot of questions. It's a fun one. I'll give you that. It's a fun one.
Yeah.
I have so many questions in regards to it.
Project Serpo. I kept wanting to call it Serpico. Send Al Pacino to this place.
Al Pacino just dressed like an alien.
Just like a hippie.
What am I doing? What are you doing? I'm up here meeting the bugs and shit. You know what I mean? The bugs. I got a great big ass, and your head's all the way up it.
Ferocious, aren't I?
You find what you're looking for, bleep bloop.
Give me all you got. Get killed walking your doggy.
Well, what is this, Mars? Is this Mars? Ah. Hoo-ah!
Oh, man. I watched, speaking of Pacino, I watched Dog Day Afternoon this week. I hadn't seen that in years. You ever see that one where they rob a bank?
No, I know of it.
Yeah.
Based on a true story, right?
Yeah, I believe so. He's young in that one, too. His voice is still, he's got like a young man's voice. It's kind of high. Not like, not like the Pacino that we've grown to love. But
he's got a great big ass.
Yeah, just two dipshits try to rob a bank, and it just all goes south. But yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good flick. I've been on a 70s movie kick lately. Watch that. What else did I watch?
70s jams, baby.
Did I tell you about watching the Conversation with Gene Hackman? That was pretty good.
Classic, right?
Yeah.
Classic stuff?
Good. Yeah, he's an audio guy. He gets paid. Clients hire him to kind of spy on people.
I started that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a slow burn. But the guy, the other dude in Dog Day Afternoon, John Cazale, something like that.
Yeah.
Dude was only in 5 movies, and they were all like Oscar-caliber movies. He was in both Godfathers. He was in The Deer Hunter. He was in Dog Day Afternoon. He was in The Conversation. Mm-hmm. And then he died of cancer. Maybe that's why
well,
he was limited. But yeah,
Dave,
pretty good roster.
I hate to make that our end note,
mm-hmm.
but I have to go. That's a sad thing to end on. I got to go. The person helping me look for a house is calling me.
Do your thing, buddy. Do your thing. And, good luck with all that. And we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
You bet.
Rock and roll.
Sorry for the abrupt ending. Sorry, Andy got cancer. All right, I got to go.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.
Hey, Ben, Adam.
What's up, dude?
Yep. Have you guys heard this new podcast where the hosts are trying to save the world through self-improvement challenges? They've done stuff like they microdosed shrooms, they swam with Olympians, they even gave up plastic for a week. It's pretty crazy. I mean, most comedy podcasts, the hosts just sit around and talk about old TV shows, but this podcast are actually doing something.
Yeah, Andrew, that's our podcast.
What?
Okay, that's, it's not a new podcast. It's called The Grolic Saves the World. And I hate to break this to you. You were in all of those episodes.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound like something I do. The Grolic Saves the what?
Yeah, The Grolic Saves the World, Andrew. Grolic, G-R-A-W-L-I-X. The comedy trio you've been part of for decades. It's the Grolic Saves the World podcast. It's our podcast, buddy.
G-R-A. What is hang on. Let me go get a pencil.
G-R-A-W-L-I-X.
You don't own any pencils. Adam, new challenge. How about this? How about we kick Andrew out and we just do a podcast with the two of us?
You know, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I got a pen.
Andrew, Grolic Saves the World podcast. Starburns Audio Network.